The Old Testament lesson for the Feast of the Purification of Mary and the Presentation of our Lord is written in the book of the prophet Samuel, the first chapter. The man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, "As soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him, so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever." Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord establish his word." So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine. And she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli. And she said, "Oh, my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who was standing here in your presence, praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second chapter. "Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who, through fear of death, were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. According to St. Luke, the second chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer sacrifice, according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves, or 2 young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, good evening, and many blessings to all of you, dear ones. Tonight, we are, of course, joyfully celebrating the feast of the purification of Saint Mary and the presentation of the infant Christ in the temple. And the Holy Church, in her wisdom, has, of course, seen fit to celebrate these two distinct events together as one, in one feast, and for good reason. They are united as one within the narrative of St. Luke's Gospel, and they're certainly united theologically as well. And of course, it goes without saying that as American Gentiles here in the 21st century, we are, shall we say, just a bit removed from what life was like for God's people under the Old Testament in ancient Palestine. And so I can think of no better way to open the beauty and grandeur and sublimity of this text, of our gospel text, than by simply and straightforwardly walking you through the ancient rite of purification after childbirth and the presentation of the firstborn to the Lord, according to the law of Moses. And I pray that by God's grace, dear ones, you will grow deeply, deeply grateful that through Christ's presentation and consecration at the temple, as the Holy One of God, together we have become purified as God's New Testament people. And because Jesus has been set apart for the special purposes of the Lord, we are made clean and restored to communion with him. Dear ones, according to the law of Moses in Leviticus 12, this is where you can go to read all of this. After a woman gives birth, she becomes ritually or ceremonially unclean. This for her is a new status and is caused by her postnatal discharge of blood, by her postpartum bleeding. And it's not as if this discharge of blood is sinful in itself, but because of this flow of blood, her life was no longer considered whole or full. According to the law of Moses, one's life is in their blood. And so postpartum bleeding, as ordinary as it is, means that a woman's life in a very real way is being drained from her. She's left no longer whole, no longer full. Just imagine that, ladies, feeling drained after birth. Yes. Well, ceremonially, this was connected to uncleanness. And this meant many things. Above all, it meant that an unclean woman could not come to the sacred precinct of the temple, lest she be utterly consumed. An unclean woman, or man for that matter, could not be in the presence of a holy God, who is perfectly clean, perfectly whole, and the perfection of fullness of life in himself. Dear ones, you must remember that our God is holy. He is a consuming fire. And no unclean thing, no impure thing or person can dwell with him without being completely destroyed. It's not possible unless he makes a way. But the Lord, in his great mercy and his desire to dwell with his people, despite their uncleanness, he lays out a way for purification. This is what he does in the Torah in Leviticus 12. If a woman gave birth to a male child, the mother would undergo first a seven-day period where she would be in seclusion. She would not interact with her friends, not even her family. She was isolated. She was not permitted to engage in any of the normal duties that she had around the house and the community, nothing. She was completely secluded until that initial seven-day period was complete. And then she entered a new stage in her 40-day process of purification. The next 33 days, she could resume her normal duties in the community, but she still couldn't go to the temple yet, not yet. And finally, when the 40 days were over, she would go to the temple to offer the sacrifice prescribed in the Torah. And that's exactly what the Blessed Virgin Mother of our Lord did. For women who weren't as wealthy as others, they would present either two live pigeons or two turtle doves to the priest. And the priest would take one of them, wring its neck, and spill its blood, and collect it in a basin. And the priest would then splatter the blood on the altar several times, and then pour it out at the base of the altar. All the blood from the bird would be poured out on the altar. And by this, the priest would make atonement and appease the wrath of God against the woman's uncleanness and her impurity. You see, the discharge of blood required the blood of an innocent victim poured out on her behalf to purify her of her impurity. And so too then the priest would take the other bird, wring its neck, though it would not decapitate it, wring its neck, and this bird would be given for a burnt offering. It would be incinerated in the holy fire on the altar. And this sacrifice would cause a plume of smoke to come up from the altar. And this, of course, was filled with theological significance. You might think of the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire that guided the people of Israel through the desert. Well, this was a plume of smoke to indicate that God had met a person right there and restored them back to the community of his people. The pleasing aroma from the smoke indicated that God was pleased with the one who offered the sacrifice in faith, trusting in his goodness, trusting in his promise, being obedient to him. The pleasing aroma from the smoke also indicated that the unclean woman, or the one who had been uncleaned and was purified, she could be pleased with God. Formerly, she was at enmity with him. She could not dwell with him. But he had taken away her impurity, and she found pleasure in him. And so this is what it was. They would dwell together as God's people, and he, their God, him making peace and restoring the unclean, restoring those who were impure. This is what happened. This is what happened in St. Mary's purification. And you may well be thinking, well, how does all of this coincide then with the presentation of Christ in the temple? Well, the Lord Jesus was, of course, the firstborn son of Mary. And if you remember, every firstborn son among the people of Israel was to be consecrated as holy unto the Lord. This goes back to the Exodus, when the Lord spared all the firstborn sons of Israel in the 10th plague, when the angel of death passed through the land of Egypt and struck down the firstborn sons of Egypt. The sons of Israel were spared, the firstborn sons. They were not killed. And after the Exodus, therefore, God required all the firstborn sons of Israel to be consecrated as holy unto him. They were to be completely devoted to his service, unless sacrifice was offered to redeem them, to buy them back from their service, their bondage to the Lord. And so you can see then, dear ones, these things are presented right together in St. Luke's Gospel. At the temple, Mary is purified and Jesus is presented and consecrated unto the Lord to serve him in holiness. And surely you can see where that service would take him, that innocent, perfect, blameless service he rendered unto God would lead him to the cross. Dear ones, there our Lord Jesus, as the great high priest, sacrificed himself as the innocent victim to cleanse us and propitiate God's just anger and wrath at our impurity, the impurity of our sins. Christ's blood was spilled to cleanse us from our sins that defile us and pollute us and make us unclean. His very life was poured out in his holy, precious blood to render us whole and clean and restored in the sight of God. And so too, he was consumed in the fire of God's just wrath. Jesus gave himself into this holy fire for us and for our salvation, that the pleasing aroma of his sacrificial death would make us pleasing to God, and that we would find pleasure in him. We would find pleasure as those whom he has redeemed and reconciled to himself, whom he's incorporated into the body of the redeemed through holy baptism into his Son, with whom he's well pleased. So then, dear ones, think then on Mary as an icon of the church, on all of us. We could not purify ourselves. We are dependent on God and his propitiation, the sacrifice that he puts forward on our behalf. Because ultimately, the blood of goats and bulls and birds, that would not suffice. That would not do. Only the blood of God would cleanse us of our sins, and that's exactly what we have from Jesus. So come forward then and stand in awe that you, right here, will receive that blood of Jesus, that flesh which was scorched in the fire of God's wrath on the cross. That same body, that same blood, right here. Tremble at these things. Tremble in awe. And come forward mourning your sins and with sheer gratitude in your hearts. And present yourselves, dear ones. Present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. This is what we're called to after the manner of our Lord Jesus. To him be all the glory forever and ever. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.